Hey, Slump Busters, this is Juju Talk Sports, and I'm here to welcome you into the Slump Buster Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 30. It's been a long time coming. We had to take a little bit of a hiatus on the fantasy football side of things, but we're back. Our host, the Fantasy Aristotle himself, he is here to help you with all your fantasy questions. And then a new face, but not a new voice on the Slump Buster Podcast, Andrew Hagenbaugh, is now a part of our team, and we couldn't be happier. But before we get in the show, we have to give a shout out to our sponsors, and we're happy to do such. Starting off with first, Manscaped.com. Now, Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. They have the perfect package 2.0. They have the lawnmower 3.0. They have the crop preserver, the boxer briefs, all kinds of fantastic products, and all of which can be yours. Promo code SLUMP, save 20% off, plus shipping and handling. Come on, don't be a chump. Use promo code SLUMP. Save 20% off on the perfect tools for those family jewels. After you do that, go ahead and check out Nature's Relief, naturesrelieftx.com for all your CBD needs, and not just your needs. Don't be selfish. They also got plenty of CBD products, even for your dog. Now, go ahead, get the perfect gift. Christmas is around the corner. Go ahead and get some fantastic CBD products from Nature's Relief. They have the nighttime gummies. They have the drops. They're safe, natural, organic, tested, proven products, and they're perfect for busting the slump. Promo code SLUMP saved you 10% off all of their fantastic products. You're noticing the theme, right? You could save a lot of money if you use promo code SLUMP. Well, go ahead and use it again. Promo code SLUMP at cavemancoffeeco.com. Caveman, out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Awesome product. Honestly, their nitro cold brew, their pumpkin spice latte, which is in season. Go ahead, get White Girl Wasted on, put some pumpkin spice. Let's do that. cavemancoffeeco.com, promo code SLUMP. Get yourself a deal on a ton of fantastic products from that. That's Caveman Coffee Co. And lastly, you've saved a lot of money, but now it's time to make a lot of money. Check out Razor Sport, RazerSport.com, for the tools you need to beat Vegas. Now you have the perfect tools for your family jewels with Manscaped. Now let me give you the perfect tools to beat Vegas. Razor Sport, they have a team of betting experts, handicappers, people that know Vegas, the ins, the outs, and they are here to help you. Now that's Razor Sport, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. Check them out, sign up for a free trial, and start winning today. Okay, guys, thank you to our sponsors. We appreciate having you. A lot of love there. As always, it is time to hashtag bust the slump. So let me kick it to the Fantasy Aristotle and Andrew Hagenbaugh, episode 30.
Quiet on the set, make sure my mic is on. Eris Dre and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude, recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy, no way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction, kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest, what's the basis? Pick an athlete, let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places, sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot, boys the truth, Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place, dreams become reality. Blowing outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Refs acting like Neanderthals, phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all, settle it, listen up. Free your time like Andrew Luck, show's about to start. I suggest you buckle up.
Let's get a we're back on three. One, two, three.
We're back.
We are back. Slump Buster is back. I had to take some time off to deal with some personal stuff. 2020 has been a rough year. Everybody's got some personal things going on. I had to sell a house, and that was incredibly difficult. Don't ever put solar on your house because, that made that extremely impossible to sell. We got the dogs in the back because we're in an apartment from hell. Yep, because we're in a tiny little apartment, so the dogs are going to be here. Sorry, guys. Tried to fix it, but we can't. But I do have a guest with me today. We got Andrew from the one, the only, the Fantasy Geniuses. How are you doing today, bud?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic, dude. I'm so happy to be here. You guys are amazing, and it's always a good time when I'm on here.
Oh, yeah, we like you guys. You guys like us. You guys are a true friend of the show. We kind of lean on you guys for some fantasy stuff. You guys lean on us for memes and whatnot. And I can say, like, we're closing in on you guys in the fantasy podcast league. You guys are going to be 5-4. We're going to be 4-5. We had a rough start, but we're starting to come back. So that's a huge plus for us.
Yeah, I see you guys.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley and Kenyon Drake ruined it for us.
Oh, no. I feel so bad because Saquon, this is like, what, the second season in a row where he's just gone down like week three or something, just boom, out for the season. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
And now to keep release, I'm like, Julian, do we even try to keep Saquon or do we keep like Kittle and Keenan because they're going to be good? And I'm starting not to trust Saquon.
Yeah, I think everyone's trust in Saquon is just skyrocketing straight down because as soon as you see him go down, you're like, uh-oh, this is bad.
God dang it.
Like, when he goes down, normally when you see somebody go down, you're like, oh, okay, they'll get back up. They'll be all right for a couple plays, you know? But you see him go down, it's like, okay, this has got to be either a torn ACL or he can get back out there.
Jesus. But you guys are doing good in the Fantasy Podcast League. Your team is doing decently well in real life. I don't know how COVID is going to play a role next week for Mr. Baker over there.
From what I've heard over here, he was in contact with somebody in the facility that had it, but he's tested negative so far. So they're going to test him throughout the week just to make sure he stays negative. If not, we got to put all of our trust in Case Keenum. I mean, I don't know about that one.
I mean, you guys will be good if you get Chubb back from injury this week, which it looks like he's going to actually practice. So that's a huge plus for you guys.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, I heard the news that he's going to practice all week, and I'm like, thank the Lord. I've been waiting for this news for, like, the last, like, 6 weeks, and it's finally come.
And if you guys don't follow Andrew on social media, you need to because he is the number one Steelers hater this year. And I kind of have your back on this one because they really haven't played anybody good, and the remaining of their schedule is pretty terrible. I mean, they play Baltimore again, who's kind of suspect this year. That's really about it.
Yeah, that's literally the only competition they have so far this season. But I call them the false undefeated team. They're a false undefeated team. Like, yes, you beat some teams, but, like, you destroyed Cleveland, which we're just kind of, like, trying to still figure ourselves out a little bit. So we're not going to be good until maybe about the next year or so or two. And then Baltimore is just taking an absolute slump straight to the bottom. Like, they don't even know what they're doing anymore. Both hardball brothers don't know what they're doing anymore. God, look at Michigan. They're atrocious, too.
So the Steelers kind of, like, to me, they're like the Rams. Because the Rams have beaten the NFC least and the Chicago Bears, who are very suspect. And that's about it. I mean, they lost to Miami, who's looking pretty good. But other than that, their 4 of their 5 wins are against the NFC East, which is how I saw a stat today that said the Eagles, who have 3 wins, have a better chance of winning their division than the Steelers, who are undefeated. That's how bad the NFC East is.
I know. And it's still crazy because this is literally anyone's division, too. Like, the Giants can win it. The football team can win it. Like, anybody can win it. And it's insane because it's like, first of all, none of us thought the Cowboys were going to be this bad. Like,
I expected at least dislocate his leg.
Yeah, destroy his leg. Go down to a 4-string quarterback.
Yeah, it's been bad.
It's unbelievable. I feel bad because my girlfriend is a huge Cowboys fan, and she loves them. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But your team is shockingly bad this year.
poor Cowboys fans. Chris, we're sorry.
It's bad when the Browns win.
But the thing is,
it's bad when the Browns drop 49.
The bad thing is, Browns, I feel like they get a bad rap because you guys have, 5 wins this year? And they're
5-3.
They're still trashing you guys, even though you guys have never had 5 wins this early in the season. Like, I don't think you guys have ever had 5 wins in the first half of a season.
Not since 1994, I believe.
Yeah, see, so it's like, come on, they're doing good for the Browns, guys. Like, give them a break.
There's a couple people who have been giving us a break, but if you look on, like, everything, like, because I follow, like, hundreds of Browns fans on Twitter, and all I see on my feed is just nothing about, like, Brown stuff. And every week it's like, oh, Baker could throw for 500 yards and still get trashed on. And, like, oh, he's still a very bad quarterback. It's like, this dude just threw for 500 yards and you're still trashing him. Like, against the Bengals, throws 5 touchdowns.
He's still a terrible quarterback.
Still a bad quarterback. You should be losing to the Bengals.
It's like, give him some, like, some credit, because you guys were one of the only teams to go 0-16. You guys won 1 game in 2 years. Of course, it was against my freaking team. They're terrible.
I know. I hate unfortunately.
they are killing me with these close losses. The last two games, it's been on the last play. It's just miserable over here on the Slump Buster side. Outside of Andre, everybody else is miserable. You have Chris, who's a Cowboys fan. You have me, who's a Chargers fan. You got Julian, who's $90 million on IR. Niners aren't doing anything. Then you got Bob, who's a New England fan. So we're actually happy he's miserable, but still, he's miserable. And then you have Andre, who's a Steelers fan. And he's a Lakers fan, too. So he's just on the top of the world right now. It's like, shut up.
Here in Cleveland, we call that the combo. When you're a Steelers and a Lakers fan up here, it's like, yeah, you're the worst person in Ohio.
Well, here in New Mexico, we don't have anything, so you kind of just get to pick and choose who you like. Unless you're, like, from somewhere, you'll have, like, random people here and there. But you're either a Cowboys, a Broncos, or a Raiders fan, which is funny because Arizona's right there, but nobody likes Arizona.
I know, I was going to say, nobody likes the Cardinals. I think everyone forgets they're there.
Exactly. But we'll go ahead and get right into this week. We'll start off right with the quarterbacks. So top 10 for the season so far. Number one quarterback in the league, surprise, surprise, Patty Mahomes. 101 freaking touchdowns in his first 40 games. I hate this guy because I have to see him for the next 10 years.
Yeah, if not more.
I'm just looking at this contract. Just 10 years. But we have some good battles with him and Herbert. Patty Mahomes, number one. Number two, I don't think is really a surprise either. You got Russell Wilson on the season as number two. He finished this week as 10. Patrick Mahomes finished third quarterback on the week. Number three is not another surprise. You have Kyler Murray. Everybody was projecting him pretty high. He did finish as the number one quarterback because he had 100 yards rushing. And that's really crazy.
Yeah. I don't think quarterbacks should be able to run for 100 yards. That's just my opinion. If you can, kudos to you. But one of these days, man, you're going to get obliterated. It's going to be over for you.
Yeah. Usually have like 5 scrambles for 50 yards. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
You have a design, keep your run. It just skews all the math in fantasy. It's just like, God damn it. And then if you're a Kenyon Drake owner this year, it's like Mark Ingram last year where half the runs go to the quarterback. And you're like, God, this is killing me.
Trust me, last year I was high on Mark Ingram too, and I drafted him. I'm like, great. It's going to go all to Lamar Jackson.
It's terrible. Number four on the season, you got Josh Allen, who is very good at running, which nobody thought of coming out of college, but he's been pretty good. He's kind of up and down. I mean, a couple weeks ago against the Jets, he sucked. Those interdivision games are always pretty close, regardless of, you know, you could have an 8-0 team and a 0-8 team go against each other, and they're still going to battle each other close because of the division. Five, you got Mr. Aaron Rodgers. He's a magician.
He is. That dude's absolutely insane. Him and Devontae Adams both.
Just ridiculous. And then I watched the Pat McAfee show, and every Tuesday they have on Aaron Rodgers. And I was just like, I was just indifferent on Rodgers. But listening to him on that show, I mean, just he's freaking hilarious. I'm just like, I want to hate this guy because he's not my quarterback. Good thing he's in the NFC and I don't have to see him very often. But now I'm starting to like him a lot because of this damn show.
Yeah, he's a fun guy, it seems like.
Number six on the week, we got Deshaun, or just six on the season, we got Deshaun Watson. Very surprising because we all expected them to be Super Bowl contenders, not contenders to give Miami the first overall pick of the year because they don't have any draft capital for like 10 years because of the Laremy Tunsil trade. Poor Deshaun Watson.
Bill O'Brien destroyed that team.
And then they're trying to get rid of his – they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and then they're trying to get rid of his new number one in – Will Fuller, and it's just poor Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry.
He just wants to play football and he can't.
But he did finish 13. Aaron Rodgers did finish 4. Josh Allen finished 2 in a very surprising game. They were in Seattle. No, they were in Buffalo. But that was a very surprising game between Buffalo and Seattle. Number 7 was my personal favorite on the year because Tom Brady, he's 7 on the season. And he finished as quarterback 29 this week. So he finished behind a guy who dislocated his ankle in the first quarter. He finished behind Jameis Winston, who came in garbage time. So what, there's like four teams on a bye this week. So, I mean, he still finished 29. So there's 28 starting quarterbacks, and he still finished below everybody.
It's crazy.
Just a terrible game for them. I was expecting a shootout, and it was terrible.
I was too, and especially with Antonio Brown joining that team.
Yeah,
too.
I thought they were going to force feed him, and not he force fed the Saints the ball.
Yeah, he did a lot.
Number eight on the season, you got Ryan Tannehill, who really didn't have to do much, so he finished as 17 on the week. Then you got number 10 on the field, and number one in your hearts, except if you're a Chargers fan and you don't have a heart anymore because it's been ripped out every fucking week because these guys just... All right, Justin Herbert, who is a shoo-in for Rookie of the Year. He's broken numerous rookie records. Yes, he's the lowest winning quarterback of this rookie class, but nobody cares.
I tell you what, man, nobody thought of how he was going to play out of college, and I expected him to at least be like, oh, a couple years, he'll be there. Not this quick, I didn't think so. And I picked him up immediately before anyone else got into waivers, and I'm like, I'm getting this kid right now. And this was like a couple weeks ago, and he's become my main starter.
Yeah, so we picked him up in the fantasy league because we had Daniel Jones and Jimmy G as our quarterback. I think it was the game after Kansas City. I was like, yeah, let's just pick him up. He's going to be, you know, decent. He looked pretty good. So we picked him up, and now he's like our number one quarterback. We have him, Joe Burrow, Danny Dimes, and Jimmy G. So I'm like, yeah, this guy's killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say, like, we have it on record of me going, we don't really need him. We needed offensive line. I could have ran with Tyrod Taylor this year. We needed O-line, and it's coming back to bite me in the ass. But I'm kind of happy it is because he's killing.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of exciting it's biting you in the ass because now you're, like, looking forward for the future.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Julian reminds me every time, though. He's like, hey, you didn't want him. I'm like, I didn't. I thought he was going to be a project, and this man is killing it. So,
well, he's projecting to be the Rookie of the Year.
Herbie, I love you. Let's win some damn games, though. But I'm a Chargers fan, so I expect to win, but I'm always let down. And then number 10 on the year, Matt Ryan. We did get the stat from – I learned this from Austin, from you guys. Matt Ryan on even years, he's really good. Odd years, he's bad. Yeah. It's an even year, and he's a top 10 quarterback. So, hey, shout out to you guys for looking at some trends.
And when he brought that up, too, I had to look at it twice just to make sure. And I'm like, yeah, he's got good years in his even years and bad years in his odd years. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's such a weird trend that even years are good, odd years are bad. Usually it's like you get a new quarterback or a new coordinator, you're down for a year, you're good for 2 years or whatever. But that's a weird, like, roller coaster of good, not good, good, not good, yeah. Good, not good. And he did finish
12 on the season. It's good for him to get Dan Quinn out of there, too.
Exactly, so.
Yeah.
But so we'll go top 10 for the week, quarterbacks. We kind of already set it up. So we have Kyler 1, Allen 2, and they actually play each other next week. So I expect these trends to kind of continue. I know Julian said we kind of had to go back on Allen and start to fade him, but I mean, he had a bounce back game. Really, the only terrible, terrible game was against the Jets. He still can run. We saw what Tua did against Arizona's defense this week. So I can see them finishing 1-2 again this week.
Yeah, I could too. I could honestly see it. I remember that conversation too of how we're just going to drop him in our rankings, and then next thing you know, he just pops off, and I'm like, okay, never mind.
Lamar, we could still fade, but Josh, maybe we shouldn't fade him Lamar, just yet.
Not yet. He showed us why.
And then number 3 on the week is Patty Mahomes. He does have a bye week, but somehow he'll still figure out a way to throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's what they freaking do. I hate Kansas City. We go from Denver and Peyton Manning to freaking Kansas City and Mahomes. We just can't catch a break. Can't freaking do it. It's terrible. I hate the AFC.
We all hate it.
Number 4, we do have Aaron Rodgers. He is playing Jacksonville next week. Jacksonville's defense isn't all that good. They're about middle of the road. He is going to be getting a fully healthy Aaron Jones next week. I could see this as a trap game because they're kind of bad, but I still think they roll on, and he still has a good game. He's still going to be a top 10 quarterback, so I don't see him falling off quite a bit, but maybe not number 4, maybe 8 or 9 on the week.
I agree with that.
Number 5, we got the white boy who obviously he cannot dance, but he tries so damn much, no. Drew Lock. I mean, not to get political, he kind of looks like Trump trying to dance out there. Just
oh my god, yeah, the fist going,
just the white boy that tries to have
have a good time, but doesn't know how to have a good time.
But it's like, I mean, maybe Missouri gave him some good swag, but it's like, dude, you're just way too white for that. Like, sit down. And I'm white, I can say it. But I mean,
the rapping on the bench too.
I mean, from good last on year. You. He's having fun. Good on you. But he's playing the Raiders next week. I see him more as a QB2 this week than a QB1.
I do too.
Number six, still my favorite quarterback nickname, Teddy Two Gloves. They do get Tampa Bay next week. He's using his receivers a lot better than he did. He's actually throwing the ball downfield. So I see him more of as a fringe one, you know, a low-end one, a high-end two, and maybe right there between that 10 to 15 range this week against Tampa Bay, just depending on which Tampa shows up.
Hopefully the same one I showed up this week.
I mean, I don't think I play him next week, so yeah, go right ahead. I mean, I'm still riding with Herbert as my personal quarterback, so I can't really be
too feel that.
About that. Number seven on the week, we do have Big Ben. They do get Cincinnati next week. Hopefully his knee heals up a little bit. So I still expect a big game from him. Cincinnati's pass defense has been pretty bad. That's why Joe Burrow has had to throw 60 times in a game and has to throw 400 yards because their defense is just getting eaten alive on the pass. So with Juju, with Claypool, Johnson, even now Washington and Ebron starting to work into stuff, I could still expect a top 10 finish for Big Ben next week.
Oh, easy. Like you said, all those receivers and all those weapons, man. Claypool just came and showed out. So,
yeah,
surprising. I had to take him off my taxi squad.
I mean, it stinks because it's like if we would have had an offseason, he probably wouldn't have been a waiver wire ad. He probably would have been drafted if we had the preseason. So he just came out of nowhere because we didn't freaking know who was playing.
Yeah, and my dynasty, I didn't take him off the taxi squad because I saw him doing really well. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put him in the starting lineup. And he's just been balling. I'm like, I'm so glad I made that pick.
Yeah, I was able to scoop him up in one of the leagues that I'm in, and I've been happy. Except for I sat him the week he had the four touchdowns because I played Lockett.
Yeah,
and I swapped him the next week, and he had 1 point or 0.1 points. I'm just like, dude, you're kidding
me. I felt that. I did the exact same thing.
Hate when that happens.
I know. You're like, he's not going to do good this game. And then next thing you know, breaks out in the next game, negative points. I'm like, okay, do you.
That's just fantasy for you.
Yeah.
Number eight, we have Drew Brees, who threw to everybody except for Jared Cook because all of the other tight ends had a touchdown. So thank you, Drew Brees, for ruining my chance to win because you threw to every tight end other than Jared Cook.
Sure. Oh, my God. Adam, talk about Adam Troutman, dude.
He threw to literally everybody except for his two star players. Like, come on. They pulled him because, I mean, it was 31-0 at halftime. It was a bad game.
I was getting annoyed because he kept going to Latavius Murray because I have Alvin Kamara. And I'm like, stop going to Latavius Murray. Jesus Christ. You have Alvin Kamara.
They were like, Kamara, go ahead, sit down. Mike Thomas, sit down. Breeze, sit down. We don't need to get anybody hurt. It's 38-0 right now. Like, simmer down. Just go sit over there.
Chill.
And then Jameis came in for like three handoffs and a pass, and then he's eating dubs on the sideline again.
I know, he comes for three handoffs, acts like he won the game for the team.
If you haven't seen it, go to Slump Buster on Instagram. We have a meme about it. It's
hilarious. It is.
Number nine on the week is my man Herbert. He's playing Miami next week. Kyler Murray was number one this week, just played Miami. So I expect another top 10 finish. I probably expect to lose against Miami because, I mean, it's freaking Chargers, and we're going to find a new way to lose this week like we have the last three seasons. But I still expect a big game from him. This is going to be a good shootout. It's going to be you know, they should have drafted Herbert instead of Tua. They should have drafted Tua instead of Herbert game. Because you're always going to be compared to the people in your class. Look at Rivers, Big Ben, and Eli. They're all compared to each other because they were in the same class. It's just how it is with quarterbacks.
Yeah, it truly is. It's sad, but that's the sad truth.
And then number 10 on the week is let Russ cook. He gets the Rams next week. I mean, they're actually letting him throw the ball, which is wild because they're always trying to run the damn ball. But it could be because Chris Carson's hurt. So if Carson comes back, they're going to go back to trying to force feed the run and letting him throw maybe four times a game, which is terrible because he's a really good passer, and we're seeing it this year.
Yeah, him and DK Metcalf, unreal.
I mean, even him and Lockett, I think he's like,
yeah.
I think they're almost still perfect on QBR for connections and stuff. So it's just ridiculous. Just let him throw.
Yeah, just let him do work, man.
Then you should have let Beast Mode run it.
All those years ago, let Beast Mode run it. Nope, I'm going to throw it. Ooh.
All right, okay. So that's you just saw that catch too?
Yeah, I would say the Jamison Crowder touchdown.
Yeah,
that's some points right there for me.
We're still watching the Monday night game, guys. So if you hear some oohs and ahs and stuff, that's what's happening. So just go with it. We love football. Just leave us be.
That's what we do.
All righty. So now we'll switch to running backs. One on the season, surprisingly, is Kamara. With Dalvin Cook's recent blow-ups, I would expect him to have been in there, but then I keep forgetting that he missed the game. So, yeah, Kamara's obviously going to be number one. He finished sixth on the week, so we'll get into him here more in a second. And then just the man of the month, really, is Dalvin Cook.
Dude's been unstoppable this last month, like really on God mode.
I mean, he's doing in November what Derrick Henry usually does. Those like last 2 weeks in December, the first 2 weeks in January, he just runs over everybody. He has like 500 yards rushing in two games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you have Dalvin, yeah.
Absolutely a monster.
Good luck. I mean, we all hate you right
don't
now.
Don't go against Dalvin Cook.
Derrick Henry.
We hate you.
We do hate you. Derrick Henry is third on the year. I mean, they know it. They know how to use him. He's only going to get better as the season goes on because people do not want to run into him because he's a big freaking man. I mean, look what he did with Josh Norman.
Yeah, that dude's huge. He threw him like a wet paper towel too. Like, just picked him up and just tossed him like a child. I'm like, how do you do that to a grown man?
Yeah, I don't understand how Madden does not have his stiff arm as a 99 still, because it's ridiculous. It's like,
that make it throw a lineman like it's nothing.
It's terrible. It's like when you watch Khalil Mack or like Aaron Donald highlights and you just see him throw the offensive lineman to the ground. It's like, this dude is doing this running 22 miles an hour. Like, it's freaking hard. He's a big freaking man. Just I hate you, Derek.
Dude, you're never huge. I feel it.
Number four on the year is James Robinson. Arguably the waiver wire ad of the year. It's between him and Herbert, really. But for a running back, this dude is killing it. An undrafted rookie, killing it, being the fourth best running back, PPR standard, everything like that. He's absolutely killing it. So if you were able to snag him up, congratulations.
Yeah, dude, that kid's he's amazing. I had to pick him up because I'm like, dude, how is this undrafted rookie just balling out? Like,
absolutely killing it.
Like, I love it.
Yeah, you love it because you have him. I go against him this week, so yeah. I don't like it. Especially going against Green Bay, who cannot stop the run. So,
That's true.
Pray for me. And Russell, if you're listening to this, Russell, please sit him. Please.
Please, for once.
Just for once, please. You're still a game ahead of me, so if you lose, we're tied. You got points on me, so you're still ahead of me. Just sit. Come on, Russ.
Just sit him.
Number five on the year, surprisingly, is Zeke. And I say surprisingly because, I mean, this team sucks.
So bad, dude. So bad.
It's terrible. I mean, he's got, like, I think he has five or six fumbles on the year. They just can't get anything done. I mean, he dropped a pass the other day, yesterday. So, I mean, I expect him to be an RB2, RB3 going forward. He might have, gets a good matchup. But, I mean, you're going to be stacking the box like crazy because
– he looks lost out there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Cowboys fans. It is what it is. I have too many friends that are Cowboys fans, so I can't name them. But yeah. At least we don't have to hear, this is our year for the Super Bowl.
Them boys.
I mean, if and we really don't know, so this is a really big if they make it to the playoffs as like a 6-win team, we'll still hear it because this is our year. We're 6 wins and you guys suck in your division. Simmer down.
Honestly, you can go 4-12 in that division and still make the playoffs.
It's going to be Philly because they have that tie.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the reason why Philly wins, because they have the tie. Yeah. I mean, that's it.
Against Cincinnati, but it's still a tie.
It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't help you.
Yeah.
And they're going to get it because it doesn't hurt you.
That's why we love football, right? We love it for the ties.
Number six on the year is Todd Gurley. Finished 11 on the week, so... I mean, resurgence of Todd Gurley. It's not a pretty six, but, I mean, he doesn't have these really big games. He's just very consistent. He's a plug-and-play guy that you don't have to worry about unless it's bye week. So, I mean, good on you.
He's just doing what he's got to do to survive.
Exactly. He's going to get a decent contract because he's very serviceable right now. They are spelling him with Hill and Ito Smith, so they are giving him that rest for his knee. But, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do.
Yep, that's all you got to do. Just do what you have to do. Do what you're asked.
Number seven on the year is Mike Davis. Sorry if you're a Mike Davis owner because Christian McCaffrey's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, keep him because it's 2020 and anything can happen. Just keep him on your bench. I mean, hell, Justin Herbert's learned he was starting 3 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah, like Kendrick Sutton. No, he's like, what?
Yeah, so keep him. It's 2020, guys.
Trust me, I just start Patrick Laird over him.
So number 8 on the year is Aaron Jones. He does have 10 days to get fully healthy. He probably wouldn't have played this week if it wasn't for AJ Dillon having COVID. He's a terrible person, absolute terrible person. He took his girlfriend out for a birthday dinner. You're a terrible dude. Why would absolutely you take your awful girlfriend out for dinner for, on her birthday? Just you're terrible. Yeah. Terrible boyfriend.
Piece of shit.
So, I mean, just poor guy. I mean, what were you supposed to do? You don't take her out.
Yeah.
You're going to be in trouble because you forgot her birthday.
Yeah. You have millions. Why don't you just hire a chef?
Exactly. But so he's going to get healthy. So expect him to kind of reach back into these rankings and be a top one, RB1 player for the rest of the year as well. Number 9 is, I mean, it's CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know what to do with this backfield because it's starting to develop into a 3-man rotation. Bell is getting work. Derwin Thompson's getting work. CEH is still getting work. So it's like, don't know what to do with these guys. So, I mean, Kansas City.
And you're getting a lot of runs with the wide receivers, too.
Yeah.
Because Tyreek Hill's doing sweeps as well as Mecole Hardman's doing sweeps.
Pringle or Pretzel or whatever the other dude's name is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, whatever.
The fourth receiver that they have. There you go. Yeah, those people. I'd still expect him to be, you know, a lower end RB2 just because it's the volume isn't there anymore and he's rotating in and out. He's still going to be a very serviceable player for fantasy, but I hate that I drafted him. I hate it.
It sounded good at the time, but you didn't know this was going to happen. So.
I didn't know they were going to freaking be the damn Avengers over there getting everybody in existence on this team. Them in Tampa Bay.
Oh, Bell's free? Yeah. Love Bell's free? Bring him on in.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God. Freaking them in Tampa. They're like, everybody on those teams are ring chasing. That's what it is.
Tom Brady. Hey, AB, you want to live in my house?
And then number 10 on the year, Josh Jacobs. He's actually doing pretty well. I'm not a big fan that Devontae Booker is starting to get more and more because he's looking better and better the last few games and he's eating into his work. But I still expect him to be a probably mid-range RB1 to a high-end RB2 moving forward. They do have a favorable schedule moving forward. They have like one or two tough games, but other than that, especially in the playoffs, looking pretty good for them.
Yeah, it's looking very good for them.
Alrighty, so now on to the weekly running backs. We talked about Dalvin Cook. They get Chicago this week. I don't really see his trend going down because – I mean, he's just such on a hot streak. He's catching it. He's running it. I mean, Chicago's defense isn't all that like it used to be. And I could see them getting up and just eating clock because Chicago is very suspect.
I don't think it's going to be any different for him. Dalvin Cook is still going to be Dalvin Cook. He's still going to run all over you no matter what defense you have. He's going to run all over you. That's just who he is.
Only way to stop him is to hurt him because that's literally his worst game is the game he got hurt and the game he missed.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then if you had this man, you were super happy to have him back. Number 2 on the week is Christian McCaffrey. He is back. He makes 37-point games look like the normal, which is definitely not. But even with him gone, Mike Davis was still killing it. So
yeah, I was about to say, no matter what, you still had two good running backs.
Yeah, and he gets Tampa Bay next week, just depending on which Tampa shows up, because Tampa can stop 100-yard rushers, but they can also get blown out and not show up.
And I think a lot of these defenses forget that he can catch too, so.
Yeah, he set the record for most receptions out of the backfield on the season, so he can definitely catch. Now they have more weapons. Teddy Two Gloves is actually pushing the ball down the field, which opens up those checkdowns. So, you know, they're just playing off of each other now. So, good for him. Exactly. Good for your owners.
He had 1,000 passing or receiving yards and 1,000 rushing yards last season. So, there's no stopping this dude. It's over.
And then number 3 on the week is J.D. McKissic. He does get Detroit next week, so even more power to him if you can get him off the waiver wire. He's probably going to be the number 1 added player because we have no idea how long Kyle Allen's going to be out for. It. More than likely, it's done for the season. And Alex Smith loves to check down, loves to throw intermediate passes. guess what? They have a running back who can catch the ball. He had 9 catches for 65 yards. That's 9 extra points if you're a PPR. So get J.D. McKissic if you can. I know it's late into the season, so use whatever fab bucks you still have left. I think we still have like $40 left on our fab in the podcast league. So use what you can. Hopefully you don't have one of those guys that sells $100 because screw that guy.
That's me.
Screw those guys.
Don't spend a dime. You know, still
doing good. Until the last week.
Yeah.
But like I said, they do have Detroit. Detroit's defense is pretty bad, especially against running backs out of the backfield. So he's going to be a big waiver wire target. Now to another waiver wire target on the Chargers, Kalen Ballage. He's our best healthy running back that we have right now. Justin Jackson exited with a knee injury. Austin Eckler just isn't back yet. And Kalen Ballage ran the ball really well because Joshua Kelly is still running very timid from those couple weeks where he had a fumble in, I think it was 3 straight games. So he's kind of running very timid. So Kalen Ballage, look for him to get a lot of the work. He's a veteran. He knows how to pass block, all that fun stuff. And he has played for Anthony Lynn before, so he knows the system.
Yep. Kalen Ballage is not, he's not bad though.
No, he's not bad. I mean, especially now if you can get him off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Kansas City's on a bye this week. Dallas, I believe, is going to be on a bye. Atlanta's going to be on a bye. So you have 3 or 4 really good running backs scoring on a bye. Kalen Ballage will be a really good flex option for you. And he even has, you know, the ability to score you 16 points and work his way into a RB1 situation.
I just absolutely miss Austin Eckler on my team. I'm missing him so bad.
You miss him? I miss him.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I was like, you miss him more.
I miss him more. He's not even on my damn fantasy team. But I hope he's out one more week because the guy I'm playing has him on his roster. So I would rather not get beat by my own Chargers players. That's like the worst feeling in the world is when your team's player goes off and you're playing that player. God damn it.
Yeah, because right now I had him and Nick Chubb just sitting in my IR spots, and I'm just sitting waiting for them to come back. I'm like, when are they gonna come back?
It's like the San Francisco Niners having, I think it's like $80 million on their IR, just paying all these dudes just to sit there. It's the worst deal. Yeah. Number five on the week is James Robinson. We kind of already touched on it. He's playing Green Bay. Green Bay cannot stop a nosebleed right now. Fire him up. What more can we say?
Yeah, he's going to dominate. It's easy.
Kamara, number 6. They get San Francisco. Hopefully it's a better game where they're actually trying to play and not just run out clock with their second stringers. I mean, Kamara's best running back this year, so set it and forget it, guy, for sure.
Yeah, just pray that there's not a 31-0 lead at, like, halftime, basically.
Number 7 on the week is Jerick McKinnon, and I've been saying this for the last 3 years. I hate San Francisco's running back situation because you don't know who it's going to be. It was all supposed to be Hasty this week. It was all supposed to be Hasty. Hasty had 3 yards. Jerick McKinnon was supposed to be like a relief back because he was coming off of injury. So you just never know with this backfield. If you can accurately predict which running back's going to kill it and which running back's going to be where on the depth chart, good for you because I have no freaking clue.
Or you just draft them all and guard them all at the same time.
Just put San Francisco running back, whichever one's best.
Yeah.
Number 8 on the season is the other D. Johnson in Houston, Duke Johnson. He's only going to be valuable for you if David Johnson is out with his concussion still, if he can't clear protocol. He's going to be a big add on waivers because we really don't know usually by Wednesday if they clear. It's usually Thursday or Friday when we hear that they clear concussion protocol. So he's going to be a huge pickup on waivers as well. They get Cleveland. So, I mean, how's your guys' run defense?
Run defense is actually not bad, actually. It's our passing defense that's atrocious.
Well, good thing he can catch out of the backfield.
That's what I'm saying. I know him all too well. We used him a lot in the passing game.
Number 9 is another guy who's only going to be good for you if the actual running back is still injured. It's Wayne Gallman. They get Philly. It's an NFC East game. They're terrible. He might have a touchdown. He's going to be very touchdown dependent. I have no idea what's going on with the NFC East this year, so
nobody does.
Have at it.
Go for it. We're all just in there watching and just laughing.
He's going to be a touchdown dependent RB2 if the volume's there, because we don't know what's up with Freeman just yet. But yeah, teach your own, I guess, with Goldman.
You're going to see Danny Dimes run for another
80 yards
and trip himself.
Yeah, oh my God. Poor guy. I would have loved to be in film study and see the locker room's reaction to him falling down. Because I saw the reaction when they were showing the reviews on Monday Night Football that day. But yeah, it was poor guy.
Running faster than Lamar Jackson is a very good feat.
That's what I was about to say. He ran faster than Lamar. That's crazy.
That is insane. I was like, dang, I didn't know you could run that fast.
And then 10 on the week is Josh Jacobs. He gets Denver this week. Denver's defense is very banged up. Expect him to be another RB1 because the volume is all there for him.
This is message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only fruit I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped Boxer Briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
Hello guys, this is Juju Talk Sports. You like sports betting, right? Of course you do. You're listening to a fantasy football podcast after all. Well, let me tell you about Razorsport.com. Razor is a worldwide sports betting network all designed around helping you. Their diverse crew of handicappers produce plays that Vegas Sharps don't want you to know about. Go to their website right now and sign up for a free trial at Razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. Proud partners of the Slump Buster podcast. Check them out and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, so we'll swing into the receivers. Tyreek Hill is the number one receiver on the year right now. Surprise, surprise, because he has freaking Patty Mahomes around him. Jeez. They're terrible.
Jeez. Just pound the desk.
Damn, jeez. Davante Adams is number 2 on the year, and that is super surprising because he left one game early, he's had his bye week already, and he's missed a game. And he's number 2. This man is on a tear.
It's just because of Aaron Rodgers. Him and Aaron Rodgers, just, they're buddy-buddy. It's
like Jordy from 5 years ago. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. He's like Jordy Nelson from like 4 years ago, just catch everything.
And then number 3 on the season is you have the man child, and I call him a child because he has a pacifier as his mouthpiece, DK. Seattle's ridiculous this year.
Same situation as Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. And Russell Wilson just...
I mean, it's crazy because Russell Wilson has 2 top 5 receivers. He has DK at 3, Lockett at 5.
Yeah.
When you lock up DK, Lockett goes for 200 yards and a touch or 3 touchdowns. When you lock up Lockett, DK goes for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Which one do you want to kill you?
Yeah. Take your pick. Who's going to kill you?
Number 4 squeezed in there between the 2 Seahawks is Stephon Diggs, the main man. I thought he was going to be bad for Josh Allen because Josh Allen's deep pass was the worst completion percentage last year. And it's fixed.
Yeah, they worked a lot with him in the offseason, and they got it fixed.
I mean, Diggs is killing it. And I should have traded CEH for Diggs earlier this year. Should have done it. Because CEH is not gonna do good anymore. Damn Chiefs. Thank you guys. Number 6 on the season is DeAndre Hopkins. Poor guy finished 68th this week as a receiver, everything went to Christian Kirk. It's still DeAndre Hopkins, so you still have to start him because he catches everything.
literally everything.
And the funny thing is, I was like inches away from trading Christian Kirk too, and it's like, okay, I guess he's now getting the ball finally for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah, they're starting to use him again. The last 2 weeks, he's been killing it. I wanted to put him as a waiver wire ad, but he's owned in like 68% of the league, so I couldn't really put him as a waiver wire ad because I tried to do all of mine as a 50% or below. Good on you if you have him available, pick him up.
And you would think with both him and Kyler Murray playing at college together, you'd think he would throw the ball to him a lot more than what he is.
And with they like, have double coverage always being on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's like they have a connection. Like, why don't you throw it? You threw this guy a lot in college. You know how he plays.
It is what it is, but you still got to start him, even though he was 68 this week. All righty, on to number 7, my main man, Keenan Allen, a.k.a. Slayer. My family hates it because in the fantasy leagues, I always have to have this man. I draft him every year or trade for him every year, and people still don't understand that they could literally get my best player for Keenan Allen when I trade for him, but I finagle it somehow to always get better value. Like last year, I traded, who was it? I think it was James White, who's coming off a hell of a season. He had 215 points the year before, and Keenan Allen, I think, had 200, so I was able to finagle that. Like, hey, Brady still loves throwing to his receiver or his running back, and then they didn't use him, so I looked like a bad guy. But I love Keenan Allen. He is a every week number one now that the quarterback actually loves to throw him the ball. I don't know why Philip Rivers would like go games without just throwing him the ball. He's just like, oh yeah, Keenan, one of the best route runners, let's throw it over here to the other team. What the heck, Philip?
And now he's doing it for Indy.
And now he's doing it for Indy with a absolutely terrible, terrible tackle attempt. That dude just laid on his back and threw his hands around the tackle. I'm like, I love you, Phil, and I want big things for you, but that was terrible.
Awful.
But thank you, Keenan Allen. You're always on my team. So number 7 on the week, number 7 on the year. So let's go Chargers, and let's go break my heart.
Just gonna break my heart.
Number 8 on the year is Calvin Ridley. He did not play this week, but he's killing it. And my hot take of him being a better receiver fantasy purpose wise than Julio Jones this year is panning out. Yes.
I was about to say, that's starting to go your way now.
Yeah, I'm loving it more and more, but I mean, he's going to kill it. He's going to kill it always. Julio just demands that much attention for the defense. Number 9 on the year is Allen Robinson. Once Foles started starting for them, I knew he was going to kill it. Surprisingly, Foles is using Jimmy Graham quite a bit. He didn't really like throwing to tight ends last year. That's why I was really high on Robinson once Foles came in, because he likes tight end or likes receivers more than tight ends. But they're both killing it. Robinson's killing it. He did finish his 27 this week, so a little bad, but still. He's going to get you 8 or 9 catches a week, so.
Always start him.
All righty. And to finish off the season at receiver, number 10, Robbie Anderson. Very surprising to me because I knew Teddy Two Gloves not to like to throw the ball down the field, and they're throwing it down the field. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and now Curtis Samuel starting to come into the mix. They're looking like a pretty good team.
They're actually looking like a really good team. They almost beat the Chiefs, too.
They almost did, and I was pulling for it because I needed them to beat the Chiefs. But, I mean, I have no hope, so it's like, why? They're killing it. Robbie Anderson, he's surprisingly the number one. I still thought he'd play second fiddle to DJ Moore, but he's the number one, and DJ Moore is the number two there. It's just it is what it is.
And it's working out really well for him, though.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not this year. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. I think that division's a little too locked up. But I think maybe year two of Teddy being in that system, year three, they're going to be true contenders, especially if Breeze retires, Brady retires. It's going to be their division. All right. So on to the receivers for the week. And surprise, surprise, nobody started him. Richie James is the number one receiver on the week. And don't really expect this to be the way next week, because all of the receivers that were out because of COVID are going to be back. So Richie James is going to go back to riding the pine. Sorry, guys.
Yep. That's just it is what it is, boys.
Do not waste your money on him. Sorry. Number two, Davante Adams. He gets Jacksonville next week. I can't really say more than he is going to absolutely kill it. because it's
That's all you got to say. He's just going to kill it.
Number three, Tyreek Hill. He's on a bye, so don't start him. Do not start him.
Please don't.
Are you listening? Don't start him. Or do.
Or you can start him. Yeah.
If you're playing me, start him. But not, don't start him. Number four, DJ Chark, who I was very surprised that we had to play him in the Fantasy Podcast League because we weren't going to play CD Lamb. And everybody else on our team is hurt. So it's like, yeah, let's just throw DJ Chark in there. And he absolutely killed it. Granted, he had six catches for 74 yards outside of his 175-yard touchdown catch. But still, for a undrafted rookie quarterback starting 140 yards and a touchdown on, I think it was seven or eight catches.
Yeah.
Can ask for more. He's going to be lowly. He's going to have ups and downs, but he's the true number one out there. He has big playability. He's going to be a must start depending on who you have on your roster. But if you have like Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, DK, I don't know how you have all that. But yeah, he's going to be startable. He's going to be a wide receiver two with one appeal. So you definitely have to start him.
Yeah, he's going to be good. Oh, the quarterback has to just throw him the ball. That's all. Let him do the work.
All righty. So number five, we have Curtis Samuel. They're actually starting to use him. His last three games, 17, 21, and 30 points for PPR-wise. They're starting to use him in the run game. They're starting to use him in the pass game. He goes on bye next week, I believe it is. If you can pick him up, pick him up. He's going to be a decent flex player for you. His floor is set at about maybe three catches for 30 yards, maybe one carry for 5 to 10 yards. But we've seen his ceiling grow and grow now that they're starting to use him more and more. And now that Christian McCaffrey's there, they can't really play the pass like they were because Mike Davis was a better pass catcher than a runner. So the boxes are going to be light. So the jet sweep and everything's going to be there. Pick him up.
Either way, he's going to get the ball. He's going to get the ball either way, whether it's a sweep or if he's going to get the ball thrown to him. He's going to get the ball. He's going to get his touches.
I will start calling him Deebo Samuel light. I will start calling him a more of a Deebo Samuel type player if they start using him more. But they try to get the ball in Deebo Samuel's hand, and it does seem like they are starting to do that with Curtis Samuel. So, I mean, that's all you need is opportunity in fantasy football. Fantasy football is all about opportunity plus ability, and he has both. So pick him up, flex him. You're welcome.
Best advice ever.
Number six on the week is Jerry Jeudy. Finally, the rookie comes alive. 125 yards and a touchdown. He is the de facto number one now that Cortland Sutton is out. And they're starting to get into a rhythm. Him and Locke are starting to get into a rhythm. He's going to be more of a wide receiver three with very big upside just because the Broncos offense is up and down. But everything's there for him to succeed moving forward, especially they have a decently favorable schedule. They have pretty much middle of the road matchups the rest of the way for the Broncos. And they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. They're 3-5 right now. So they could be fighting for that seventh spot, possibly eighth if the NFL does decide to actually expand it to an eighth team playoff this year. So they're going to want to play for the wins. They're going to want to throw the ball. They're going to want to try to dominate. So good on you.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy's looking alive. I think he's going to be a very good receiver in this league, but it all comes down to quarterback, the team, and just if he's going to get the opportunity. So I like him. I started him this past week, and he did very well, so I was happy I started him.
Yeah, what did I say? Seven catches. I think he was 125 yards and a touchdown. Yards, yeah. So he's going to be there. He's going to have games where he has four catches for 40 yards, but his floor is pretty decent, and his ceiling is exponential. So kind of the same way Keenan Allen, he gets Miami next week. He is a number one receiver. I mean, I don't want to be biased here. I don't want to be called biased, but he's had nine catches in the vast majority of Herbert's starts. Herbert is relying on Keenan. Keenan is the number one receiver on third downs this year for all of football. So he has the most catches and the most yards on third down. If you have him, you have to start him.
Yeah, 100% agree. I like Keenan Allen.
I know I'm going to get something from Julian about this. I already know it.
I'll back you up.
Number eight is Scary Terry McLaurin. He does have a quarterback who can actually throw the ball more consistently than Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen. He gets Detroit next week, which is a favorable matchup. If he was on a better team, this dude would be a top 10 receiver.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, even with two bad quarterbacks, he's still a good receiver, even with two bad quarterbacks. Like, very good.
He's going to be a wide receiver two, mid-range wide receiver two. I want to bump him up because of the quarterback situation being a little bit better now. We know that Alex Smith can throw the ball just if he wants to. Again, Detroit's a good team, decent team.
300 yards in his last game, so, I mean, Alex Smith can sling it still.
the only problem is, are they going to actually try to throw it down the field just depending on that offensive line because...
Oh, no. They don't want him to break his leg again.
I mean, he has a hamstring for a calf muscle, so, I mean, come on.
That's true.
Number nine is DK. They get the Rams this week, so you have to start Lockett and you have to start DK and just hope it's in your favor that your player is the one that they go to, because it's either DK or it's Lockett. Sometimes it's both, but it's one or the other, but you have to start both of them.
Yeah, both are a must start. You cannot, if you sit DK or Lockett, because I've seen that in a couple leagues where a guy's in Lockett or DK, I'm like, what are you doing, dog?
Yeah, I don't understand people. And then number 10 on the week, Christian Kirk. They get Buffalo. I still don't say start him. I'm still a little hesitant on the start. Maybe depending on your situation or your team, I would start him. But I'm still a little hesitant on starting him just because he's had two really good games and the rest have been pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I have him as more of like a desperation start. Like if you have like a bunch of guys on a bye or IR or something, just like he's like one of like a last resort. Like, okay, I got to throw him in there. Or even if you need like a flex option, he's a great flex option if you need that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll agree with all that. So we are rounding the end of the episode. We have tight ends and then just some housekeeping stuff at the end. Tight ends is my favorite because it's always just a dartboard throw on who's going to be there, because when we get to it here in a second, I can show you. Number one on the year is Travis Kelce. Not really a big surprise there. Again, he's on a bye because Kansas City's on a bye, so do not play him. Darren Waller, number two on the year. Not really surprising. We did see a big emergence. I did say he was going to have a little bit of a step back this season, which I'm starting to eat my words because he's the second best tight end this year. And he's looking like he's going to be a stable for the next couple years. I know the turnover on tight ends is big. I mean, look at Ertz. Last 2 years, he was part of the big, or the Holy Trinity, as everybody was calling it. And now he's on IR and possibly gone from the Eagles. So from year to year, it's always a lot of changeover. But Waller's looking like a pretty good option for you moving forward, especially in Dynasty Leagues.
Yeah, well, even Ertz, too, before his injury, he was never really getting the ball that much. Because I had him on my fantasy team before I dumped him. And he just was not doing the job. Like, he'd be projected like 15 points. I'm like, okay, this dude's projected 15. Gets like 3 because he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, no, that's such a weird team, Philly is. I can't figure them out much. Number three on the year, very surprising, TJ Hockenson. We all knew his ability was there, and now it's finally coming to fruition. TJ Hockenson's 3 on the season, 5 on the week. So especially with Galladay being out, expect him to continue the trend of big games. Number four, let's put up a prayer for George Kittle. He's the 4th best tight end on the year, and he's done for the year because everybody on the Niners is done for the year.
Yeah, that team is done for the year.
We'll put in a moment of silence for Julian's team. It's okay, Julian. We're sorry. Number 5, Hayden Hurst. This is another guy that was projected to have a big year because he's very talented. Matt Ryan loves his tight ends. Look at Austin Hooper. And it's actually paying off. He's 5 on the year. He was 6th on the week. Continue to fire him up because it's a weird tight end year. Look at it when we talk about Irv Smith here coming.
Oh, yeah. I like Hayden Hurst. He was a very low-key guy in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Baltimore had like 18 tight ends, so it was kind of hard for anybody other than Mark Andrews to get. Like, they had Boyle. They had, like, some dude named Max with, like, 2 X's. Hayden Hurst.
Mark Andrews.
They were like everybody. The Bears. The Bears at the start of the year had 10 tight ends on their roster. Like, why? Why?
Yeah, why do you need that many tight ends?
Number 6 is
one of
those
tight ends.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I mean, the Browns kind of do have that many. Yeah.
You guys have Hooper.
We have Hooper, Njoku, Harrison Bryant.
Oh, yeah. You guys do have quite a bit. I mean, I can't really
talk. Quite a bit. We have a fourth one that's good too, but
we have four. We have that 6'9" dude who dropped their game winning pass. Y'all didn't see that, but I threw papers because life of a Chargers fan. So on. Jimmy Graham is number six, and this is why I said it's surprising, because Foles doesn't like passing to tight ends, but Jimmy Graham's getting a lot of work. He's getting some resurgence. He was 2 on the week and 6 on the year, so continue. Yeah. You know, I would continue to play him, especially because the tight ends outside of like the top 4, you really are just streaming everybody else.
Yeah, I think this year is the year of like the tight ends, because with like all these receivers going down, all these quarterbacks going down, with everybody just going down, like tight ends are the ones who are seeming to like stay healthy and stay consistent.
Throw it to the big guy in the middle of the field.
They're the trustworthy ones.
Number 7 on the year is Jonnu Smith. He was 9 on the week. Tannehill's going to throw him the ball. It's him and A.J. Brown, Corey Davis every now and again, but it's really those two guys on the receiving end. Number 8, Mark Andrews. And I'm going to say this. This is a hot take. He's no longer a must start. He's had 30 yards in the last 3 games. He's very touchdown dependent now. Lamar has taken a step back. Therefore, Mark Andrews is going to take a step back.
Well, yeah, I would say the same thing about the entire offense. As Lamar Jackson went down, that whole offense just went down.
So, hot take. Let's see if it comes back to bite me in the ass, but that's my hot take. Number 9, Robert Tonyan. Big Robert Tonyan. 3 touchdowns a couple weeks ago and 3 catches this last week. But again, they really didn't have to do much to beat San Francisco. Now that Davante Adams and the whole stable of running backs is going to come back, maybe you see him getting more action because they're going to be stacked in the box or everybody's on Davante Adams. So maybe he starts getting some more play, but we'll see how this plays out. He's going to be a boom or bust type of guy, so start him sparingly, but that's what it is with the tight end position anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, number 10, Evan Ingram. I mean, it's, again, NFC East team. Some weeks they look like they're killing it. I mean, they almost beat Tom Brady, which isn't really saying much anymore because Tom Brady just got blown out. But
yeah,
it's NFC least for a reason. They're not really good teams. I mean, hell, the 20-yard line tackled their quarterback on a touchdown run. So
that's so sad.
Sorry to keep bringing it up, but I mean, it is what it is.
So we'll have so much room. Just slow down. Just slow down.
His top half was moving faster than his bottom half, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And he just fell over. All right, so on to the weekly tight ends. Again, Kelsey finished number 1, but he's on a bye, so leave him be. Jimmy Graham, number 2. They get Minnesota, so that could be an interesting matchup. If he's already on your team and there's nobody better on the waiver wire, go ahead and start him. If there's somebody better on the waiver wire of tight ends, you're probably streaming anyway. Number 3, Evan Ingram. They get Philly. Again, it's the tight end position. Look at Irv Smith at number 4. He had 2 touchdowns on like 3 catches or something like that. They're all gonna be touchdown dependent guys. TJ Hockenson at number 5. I just love writing down the Washington football team as those abbreviations instead of WAS because it spells out what the fuck. Washington.
Yeah, and that explains their team too.
I
should have been their team name.
Yeah, I think I've heard some reports that they're probably going to keep it for one more season while they figure out what they're going to do. So they're going to be the football team again next year. And like I said in the group chats earlier, I hope they win the division. So when historians go back and go, who won the NFC East in 2020? You can say the football team. And they're going to look at you like, what? I know the football team, but which football team? No, the football team. And I just love it. I want them to
tell all my grandkids that. The football team.
I want them to win the Super Bowl just so we could be like, yeah, it's the most 2020 thing ever. The football team won the Super Bowl.
I couldn't imagine the trophy and celebration or whatever. Here you go, the football team. It's like everyone's just like slowly clapping, like, what the?
What the hell? Okay, yeah, the football team, okay. Yeah. Alrighty. It's like the Ohio team. State. Just get rid of the. Come on.
I honestly, as an Ohio State fan, I kind of hate that too. I'm like, okay, stop it with the D. Like, we don't need the emphasis. I get it, we're better than everybody, but we don't need the D to prove it.
Number six, Hayden Hurst. He's on a bye, so look for a replacement for him. Darren Waller, seven. They get Denver. Darren Waller's the number one receiver there, so continue to fire him up. Adam Trautman, again, one of the receiver, or one of the tight ends that New Orleans threw to, other than freaking Jared Cook. I don't know why. Needed 10 points from Jared Cook, and all of the other tight ends got 10 points. Other than Jared
Cook. I got 10 points from Trautman, but he's on my taxi squad in Dynasty.
No. I needed 10 points. Never started them. 10 points to go into first place in my family league. If I would have won, I would have won into first place. I needed 10 points from fucking Jared Cook.
And that's an easy game for him, too.
No, it was Jared Cook and AB. I needed to close a 10-point gap, and all she had was the running back, Ronald Jones. And I still lost.
Yeah.
And I still lost.
Yeah.
Oh, so mad. Jones. All right. So Adam Trautman, I wouldn't start him up because it's New Orleans. That's the first time I've ever heard of Trautman. Jonnu Smith does get Indy. Indy's defense is getting pretty good. Decent against the tight end, but not, you know, elite against them. So fire him up. He's probably going to be 40 yards and a touchdown. I see AJ Brown having a big game, not really him, but he still will more than likely have a touchdown, especially in those division games. And then last but not least, Eric Ebron scoring the game winning touchdown against the terrible Cowboys, which was hilarious because they almost lost to the Cowboys. And that would have been terrible because then the Cowboys could hold that over the season of, it's our year, but we beat the undefeated team. And they're just insufferable.
I just wanted the Steelers to lose just because I'm a Browns fan.
Oh, poor Brownies.
I know. 20 years has not been the greatest.
All righty. So that's it for our positional breakdown. We will get down to our slump buster of the week. Again, it's a person that was terrible this week who will be good next week. And are you ready for this one? Any Browns player, or not Browns player, Bucks player. Any Bucks player. They had four rushing attempts. It's just Bucks. They had four rushing attempts. Brady had two fantasy points. Nobody had above 40 receiving yards. Any Bucks player next week will be our slump buster of the week. Watch this come back and bite me in the ass.
They get blown out again.
What? I just picked a whole freaking team and it's going to come back to bite me in the ass. But Brady any Bucks player. Those
three picks.
Oh, I'll be so mad. I will be so mad. Alrighty, guys. So the last part of the episode, waiver wire ads. It's going to be a short one. There really wasn't much people that fit the criteria of 50% or below rostered. Really, it's three running backs and a receiver. We've already talked about all of them. JD McKissick, Keelan Ballage, Duke Johnson, and Curtis Samuel. All of them are getting more and more work. McKissick has a quarterback that likes to pass it or check down to a running back. Keelan Ballage is the only healthy running back or almost healthy running back in the Chargers offense. Duke Johnson for David Johnson, the other D Johnson on that damn team. Like, we needed more D Johnsons. Curtis Samuel, who's actually starting to get more and more work, 17, 20, and 30 points respectively in the last 3 weeks. Is there anybody else that you wanted to add to the list?
Oh, man. Dude, I'm going to have to pull up some waivers real quick just so I can get a name out there.
Just one single name. And
just one single name.
In light of Alex Trebek passing this weekend, we will play some Jeopardy music in the background, but we really can't because it's probably copywritten, but you could just sing it in your head while we wait. And staying home from school will never be the same because Alex Trebek, who was a huge part of everybody's staying home sick with Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right. He fought cancer for years and the tributes are moving to him. So rest in peace.
I would have to say, this is going to be an odd one. I'm going to say Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, that's not a bad one. I mean, they get Detroit. It's mediocre defense at best. I could see him having another 300 yards.
Listen to these few games they got. They got Detroit, Cincinnati, and Dallas as their next three games.
Ooh.
And then after that, they got Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Seattle, and then Carolina. And then Philly to finish it.
Not a bad three-game stretch.
That's what I was thinking because I looked at Alex Smith. I was like, the next three games are very, very – good looking for him.
Yeah, not a bad three-game stretch. So we will add Alex Smith to the list. And that will be it for the show for us, guys. So, Andrew, do you want to do your shameless plugs on everything? Where can we find you guys?
Yeah, so my personal Twitter is at Drew Hagenball. That's DrewHagenbaugh. Sorry for any complicated last name. Then you can follow our Mine and Austin show page, The Fantasy Geniuses, at The FF Geniuses on Twitter and at The Fantasy Geniuses on Instagram.
Trust me, we know all about complicated last names. My last name is Blakeney. Andre's is Huynh. If you want a fun one, look up Vita Vea's full name.
Oh my God, dude.
We will do this. Insane. We will do this real quick on the podcast. Hold on. We're going to ask Google. Let me make sure Google's up all the way. What is Vita Vea's full name?
Its full name is Tavita Taliakiono Tupelotu Mosese Bahai Fahoko Falatau Vita Vea.
And we will end the show on that. Thank you, guys. That's it for us today.